You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
The Steelers have to show up for practice today, Labs. They're only going to be their they haven't had practice in two of their last 3 days. I can't talk to start the show today. This is just where we're at right now. The energy that I'm bringing to start the training camp report is lacking, but the energy that the Steelers brought on Sunday during that practice in the middle of 2 days off was not lacking, and Coach Tomlin is really pleased with that. You know, you talk about these little tests that Coach gives these guys throughout this camp process, and that's one of them. You know, obviously, you're recovering after the game on Friday. You have your day off on Saturday. You have the day off on Monday, but you got to go to work on that Sunday, and you can see some complacency sometimes with people when you have that random day of practice just dropped in the middle there. But that wasn't the case. Tomlin was very effusive in his praise of the Pittsburgh Steelers and saying, you know, they showed up ready to play on this Sunday as if they had been practicing for five straight days.
Yeah, it was a weird little quirk in the schedule. You know, you're in Tampa on Friday night playing a game. Then you travel back and you have a day off. Then you practice for a day and then you're off again. And now, you know, today you're kind of in the home stretch of this training camp. And it was weird, I'm sure, for the players. I mean, because a lot of times the level of weirdness for the players kind of leaks through into, you know, just everyday people, like me, for example. Knowing what day it was for the last 3 days, I mean, was seriously, it was a challenge because, you know, you're used to Mondays off, and just as you're starting to get your head around, you know, not thinking Monday is a Sunday, then thinking that, you know, the first day of work back is a Tuesday, which it had been up here. Now you're back to, you know, having Saturday off, so you think that's Monday, and then you're working Sunday, and you're thinking that's Tuesday, and then you're off again. I mean, it really kind of messes up your, not so much your body rhythms, but your brain waves. I don't know. So I can only imagine what it's like for guys who have to not only know what day it is, but then have to transfer that to physical activity, like football, on a field. So, yeah, kudos to the players for not being as discombobulated as I felt. And it was not only a practice that Mike Tomlin liked, but it was enjoyable to watch. And let me tell you, that Sunday practice, it was packed here. I mean, I get it that it was the last weekend day practice of this training camp. And so, you know, that was one of the ideas behind Mike Tomlin petitioning the NFL to change the Steelers' day off from Sunday, which it had been last summer, to Monday, which he wanted it to be this summer, to accommodate the fans, you know, give them the opportunity, you know, to come out here on weekends because, you know, most people are off on weekends. It was, I mean, seriously, it was just looking at the hillside, the stands, the line of cars looking to get to park. It was packed. And so, it was a raging success on a lot of different levels from a fan standpoint, attendance to a fan standpoint in terms of what they were able to watch once they got here, you know, and then from a football standpoint, as Mike Tomlin talked about, enjoying how the players approached it and then performed once it was actually time to start working on the field.
Well, you mentioned how entertaining of a practice it was. Tomlin put them in pads again, first practice after a game, and you know, I know they had a day off before and a day off after, so it's not that big of a deal, but maybe a little bit surprising. Put it this way, I don't think anybody would have batted an eye if the Steelers would have come out on that practice field Sunday without pads on, but the intensity was there and it warranted a padded practice, and Tomlin really has not been messing around with the lack of padded practices once that period started this camp.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think that, and I understand, you know, when you listen to the, you know, old Warriors, you know, Craig Wolfley and to a lesser extent, Max Starks, because Wolfley worked under Chuck Knoll, where every day was a scrimmage and two-a-days for most of it. But as you mentioned, this is not, you know, a country club atmosphere out here. Certainly it's not the 80s. You know, when it was a barbaric war every day. But, you know, this is, we've seen a lot of these kinds of situations, you know, in pads. The afternoon after Friday Night Lights was another example of that. And so a lot of perception of, you know, Mike Tomlin being a coach who goes easy on the players, that's not accurate. I mean, it's certainly not accurate within the context of the current rules of the collective bargaining agreement, what teams are allowed to do, you know, in training camp, et cetera. So, yeah, it's not the 80s, but I think if you look around the NFL and compare it to some of the other training camps, it's a lot more difficult, a lot more physical than a lot of the others.
Yeah, that's a sentiment that's shared around the league. Mike Tomlin hosts a very physical camp, and I have to imagine that that helps prepare the team in the regular season for things such as tackling. And I know Steelers fans gets on the Steelers every time they see a missed tackle. Oh, this team can't tackle at all. But when you actually look at it, Labs, this has been one of the more sure tackling teams in the NFL of the past couple of years. And I got to imagine that these padded practices here in July, late July, early August, really build the foundation for that.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin is fond of saying, you know, if you want to be a boxer, you got to spar. And that's his comparison. And so that's a lot of the genesis behind some of the things, you know, that happen up at training camp. The Steelers have a live tackling period every practice.
Yep.
Every practice that they're in pads, they tackle to the ground. And I don't know if there's another team in the NFL that does that, certainly not every day. And I still remember the first day that ever happened, standing down on the sideline next to Kevin Colbert, who was the general manager at the time. And it was, you know, the Le'Veon Bell was, he was the running back on the first live tackling play of a training camp practice. And I remember the look on Kevin Colbert's face. And then afterwards, and talking to Mike Tomlin about it, he said, no, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want him to try and talk me out of it. yeah, it was, you know, the shock that registered on the faces of people, you know, high up in the organization who would, you know such things about how frequently or infrequently or never things like that were done, to me was eye-opening.
Well, after practice ended on Sunday, Coach Tomlin stopped by and chatted with the media. Let's hear what Coach had to say.
Man, it was a significant day for us. We had an opportunity to review the tape and analyze our performance in a professional way, allow that to set a trajectory for this upcoming week's work individually and collectively, and then we came out and worked on the grass. And so it's a significant day, man. Just the process, the cycle of getting better, of prep, play, analysis, and then plan and move forward. And so we're very much in the midst of that. Days like today are really significant. It kind of sets a trajectory for the upcoming week. And when we do a good job of it, we have a chance to have consistent performance. And that's what we seek. We're just trying to build not only skill, but just that understanding of professionally how we go about it. I thought we had really good energy and competes today, getting back out here. But we're not afforded an opportunity to warm up to it. You know, we had an off day yesterday. We got an off day tomorrow. We can't waste days like today. In the midst of that, man, there's a nugget that's called today. And I just thought that they really got after it and took advantage of it. And I'm appreciative. Nate Herbig went down with a shoulder in practice. He's going to be evaluated. Obviously, we had bumps and bruises associated with play. Keanu Benton went down in the game with an ankle. That could be described as day-to-day. We'll see how that leads us. Some other guys obviously were limited or did not participate. Cam Haywood's not here today. He's sick, and so we thought we, you know, allow him to get right and maybe protect some of the others in the process. I'll pause and open up for questions.
No one?
Mike, when you're talking about moving guys around on the offensive line, if you have a position where maybe you feel like your best backup at one spot is a starter at another spot, do you feel like you need to see them, or can you just trust what the body of work?
You know, I don't even begin to make those decisions until the 11th hour. The more we let it sort itself out, we don't have to write the story. There's usually great clarity. There's enough opportunities in this process. But I'm not opposed to doing anything in an effort to get the best mix on the grass under any circumstance.
Mike, where is Loudermilk growing the most, do you think, for you? And how do you think of his camp? What do you think of his camp?
You know, the skill development relative to the position, the hand usage, the professional things coupled with defensive line play. Obviously, he's an imposing figure and strong young man, and that's always been a component of this game. But I think he's continually grown and evolved from a fine motor skill perspective and hand usage.
Very quick from Coach Tomlin after practice on Sunday. In and out, in and out. I guess there wasn't much to ask him, though, after you got a chance to talk to him after the Buccaneers game, and you looked so good in that Buccaneers game. Not many questions to be had of Mike Tomlin, but he did mention the injury report there, Labs, and just to update it from what happened on practice on Sunday, I mentioned Nate Herbig had a shoulder injury in practice, and he's being evaluated. Everything else, just bumps and bruises associated with play, as Tomlin likes to say. But he did mention Keanu Benton going down at the end of that Tampa game on Friday. The good news is on Sunday, Labs, he was out there on the field without a wrap on. Didn't seem like, you know, he was too injured. And you heard a little rumor about today's practice regarding Mr. Benton.
Yeah, I mean, Keanu Benton is telling people that he's going to practice today. Now, whether that actually happens or not, you know, we'll see. I mean, we very, very often hear players pronouncing themselves ready for things or promising that they're going to be ready for something. And then, you know, it doesn't happen. Right. Not so much because, you know, just because a lot of times the training staff, the medical people, they just decide that, you know, pushing it is not the way to go. Sometimes it can lead to, you know, more serious situation and a longer absence, you know, on the other end. But, you know, I was, you know, as someone who lives in my fears, I noticed, you know, that on the watching the game, Keanu Benton limping off the field, and, you know, hey, that could be anything. You know what I mean?
A little cramp in that Tampa Heat, yeah.
Or something, because I remember very clearly the opener of the 1995 season at Three River Stadium against the Detroit Lions. The Lions' first third down play, Barry Sanders put a move on Rod Woodson in the flat, and Woodson went down, and Woodson limped by himself to the locker room. And I'm thinking, boy, this isn't going to be too bad. Yeah, torn ACL.
Oh.
So, you know, sometimes it doesn't look bad early and it turns out to be bad. Other times you think it's bad early and it turns out not to be so bad. You know, thankfully for the Steelers, it was the reverse of the Woodson thing for Keanu Benton, because I noticed him right away when the players started filing out from the locker room onto the field. You know, he had his jersey on, no pads though, which indicates, you know, a guy's not going to practice. And he had, you know, long sweatpants on, but there was nothing on his foot. There was no boot.
Right.
It wasn't visibly wrapped. And he participated in the warm-ups with the rest of the defensive linemen. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then not only did he do that, which was an incredibly good sign in my non-medical opinion, but then he stood on the sideline among the defensive linemen throughout practice.
Kept keeping weight on that ankle, yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking, you know, because even if he was out there for a little bit, you know, he'd sit down, you know, those kinds of things.
Have a crutch, something like that, just to help him.
Yeah, nothing. Right, nothing. So, you know, I'm thinking, wow, this is really good news. And then, you know, he started telling people that, you know, he was going to practice. He was only missing the one day. Now, we'll see what happens today, whether he's out there or not, or to what degree, if he is out there, he participates. But, I mean, I had envisioned, you know, a couple of weeks in my head. I'm immediately going to a bad place. And after we saw the way he played in that game against the Buccaneers, the guy was extremely disruptive, showing some of the things that, you know, the reason that he was drafted 49th overall, the things that he might be able to provide from a nose tackle position that, you know, are not common, because he was very good against the run, or a couple of fourth down plays. The one, you know, Isaiah Loudermilk got credit for the tackle, and he did make the tackle, but it was Benton who made the play by firing across the line of scrimmage and penetrating into the backfield, because when the running back got the ball, Benton was right at his feet. And so then he had to readjust his route, and Loudermilk came in and made the play. Another running play, Benton dumped the running back for a three-yard loss. So there's that. He's already showing that he is going to be a pain in the neck for offenses that are trying to run the ball. And, you know, he also comes to the NFL with a reputation, you know, of having some quicks and some athletic ability and some pass rush skills, so that he's going to hopefully develop into the kind of defensive lineman that you don't have to take off the field in passing situations. So, yeah, I had high hopes for him and the way he was playing. I thought, wow, this guy's really coming along nicely. And then there was the injury, but it doesn't seem like it's going to derail him as much as I originally feared.
Yeah, and that is great news, because I'm not going to say he's going to be a starter come opening weekend of the NFL season, but he's going to be a contributor, I think, as long as he continues on this trajectory that we've seen through camp so far and after his first preseason game. So good to hear. At least the speculation is that the injury isn't that serious, and we'll see if he is back at practice today for the Steelers. Again, I'm sure he wants to be, but it's up to the medical staff. And, you know, it's got to be encouraging for a coaching staff to see such a young guy exhibit this kind of hunger, you know, have that ankle injury happen and then just immediately shake it off. Oh, no, I'm good. I don't need crutches. I don't need it wrapped. I don't need a boot. I'll just stand here on the sidelines, and I'm just chomping at the bit to get back out there. In fact, let me do some individual, you know, stretching and warm-up stuff with this team so I don't miss a complete day of practice. I mean, that kind of mindset and drive from a rookie is what you need if you want to start in the NFL at such a young age.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, again, I think that that likely showed through during the pre-draft process. You know, I'm sure that that had something to do with him being the 49th overall pick. You know, he's going to be, and I don't know that this is necessarily a bad designation, but he's going to be known for at least for a while as the Steelers' other second-round draft pick for 2023. Right. And, you know, Joey Porter Jr. is, you know, not exactly chopped liver either. So, you know, when you're kind of getting grouped with a player of that ability, you know, that's a compliment as well.
Seven shots and 2-minute drill were featured as part of training camp practice on Sunday. We'll talk about how the offense and the defense fared in both of those drills when we come back on the training camp report on Steelers Nation Radio.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
The competition periods during training camp are most often the most enjoyable for the fans and the media covering things. And That wasn't the exception on Sunday with seven shots and the two-minute drill. Labs, let's start with seven shots. You know, the offense has struggled in this drill throughout training camp. They have been kind of picking up the slack a little bit lately, being a little bit more competitive and, in fact, picking up a win or two along the way. But Sunday kind of saw that pendulum swing back in the direction of the defense in seven shots.
Yeah, and, you know, for anyone who was expecting, like me, that after what we saw in Tampa from the first string offense, that maybe, you know, that was a turning point and it would carry over right away into the, you know, into training camp practices. But, you know, that's not the case. And, you know, I don't think that's in no small part, I believe, that the Steelers' defense is significantly better than Tampa Bay's. You know, no,
fair to say.
No offense, you know, really. I'm not ripping the Buccaneers or anything. I just don't think that, you know, they're going to be. And there were a lot of Buccaneers regulars who did not play in that game, first of all. But I also don't see the Buccaneers as an NFC contender this season. So, you know, you play who you play, and it is what it is. But the Steelers offense did not execute in or perform or enjoy the level of success, let me put it that way, in seven shots against the Steelers defense on Sunday that it enjoyed against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Friday night in the preseason opener. You know, and here the first play, you know, exactly kind of really illustrates my point. First snap of the drill, you know, Pickett takes the snap. He immediately identifies Deontay Johnson as where he's going to go with the ball. And Deontay Johnson was like a slant route into the middle of the end zone. And he had his body in between where the ball was going to be delivered and the defender. So, you know, it's perfect positioning. Pickett throws the ball. It's right on target. Minka Fitzpatrick flashes over from the middle and knocks it down.
That damn all-pro safety lurking in center field. What a pest.
Yep. but, I mean, that's the difference. And, you know, Minka is getting back to, you know, I don't know, full speed, full strength, whatever it is, since, you know, his absence from camp for personal reasons.
Right.
But that's a Minka play, you know, right there. And then, so it's 1-0 defense, then it's 2-0 defense. On the second play, Pickett went back to Johnson, and Joey Porter Jr. was right there, but the ball was thrown way over his head. The third play, another incomplete pass. The defense is up 3-0. The offense finally got the ball into the end zone on the fourth snap. It was a running play. Anthony McFarland kind of right up the middle, knifed into the end zone through a nice little gap. And, you know, maybe that's an example of the offense taking advantage of the expectation from the opponent, in this case the Steelers' defense, it was going to be another pass. You run it, and, you know, as I like to say, it is legal to run the ball into the end zone from the two-yard line. I looked it up.
It's not even frowned upon, okay. I don't think.
Sometimes I don't think
it's
so
often
either.
Encouraged.
And it counts for the same number of points, too.
Yeah, people don't know that part, that. Yes.
So, Mitch Trubisky comes in and gets the offense on the board again. Nice throw to Calvin Austin. Kenny Robinson was in coverage. On the sixth snap, the defense clinched the win. Cornerback Luke Barku, again, he's flashing a lot lately, in my opinion, broke up a pass intended for Dez Fitzpatrick. So now it's already 4-2. And then on the last play, Trubisky went back to Fitzpatrick, was wide open, and that made the final score a 4-3 win for the defense. But so, you know, the way that the drills were aligned on the day's schedule, practice schedule, seven shots is always right at the beginning.
Right.
And then 2 minute is right at the end. And I really like the way that this evolved, in the sense that after watching the offense, I won't say get its lunch handed to it, because that's really overstating it, but not be successful and then to come back and win both repetitions of the 2 minute was really encouraging to me. Not so much for any other reason that I am a big fan of what they refer to as ebb and flow in a practice. You know, one unit wins one thing, one unit wins the other thing, and you kind of go back and forth because I really think that that's the way the entire team gets better.
Yeah, no question. That's the ideal scenario.
Right. You don't want one unit to be constantly dominating the other. You know, not only for the what it kind of indicates from a physical element of it, but psychologically too. You know, I don't think that that can be very good. So anyway, the rules for 2 minute, ball was on the 50-yard line, 1:38 on the clock. The offense had one timeout at its in its hip pocket and needed a touchdown to win. So the first team offense is out there, and you know, Kenny Pickett took him right down the field, a 5-yard run. Then he converted that for a first down at the 38-yard line with an 11-yard completion to Allen Robinson. Then he threw a 6-yard quick pass to Najee Harris, and then another incomplete pass. And so the clock stops. The offense has a 3rd and 4 from the 32-yard line. Now, again, no surprise here, Pickett goes to George Pickens. What do you know about that?
Old reliable.
Nice play, 18-yard play, pass to Pickens, and he also got himself out of bounds. It stops the clock.
How about that, Labs? Not just converting a 3rd and 4, but having a chunk play to boot on top of that.
Right, and got out of bounds, too, to stop the clock.
Perfect play.
Well, yeah. And then the next play, Pickett goes over the middle and into the end zone. Allen Robinson makes a diving catch for a touchdown. I mean, and on the play, Robinson was horizontal to the ground, caught the ball about a foot off the grass. Very nice play by the receiver. Good throw by the quarterback. And it was, you know, into the end zone, something that you like, over the middle, something that you like. And it wasn't a situation where it had to be the final play of the allotted time period for the drill or anything like that. It was nicely done, scored a touchdown, which you needed, had plenty of time, didn't have to use the timeout, you know, all good things. So then the second unit comes out, and Mitch Trubisky has, you know, had a good training camp. You know, his performance in the game against Tampa Bay, I don't think is illustrative at all of the kind of summer this guy's been having. And, you know, let me just say, hey, fans out there who think that there should be a change in the order on the depth-charted quarterback, you couldn't be more wrong.
Right.
So, anyway, Trubisky starts out, dumps a quick pass to Darnell Washington. Then he throws completes an 18-yard pass to Gunnar Olszewski for a first down at the 27-yard line. The offense rushes to the line. They run another play. Incomplete pass stops the clock. Okay, so then Trubisky and Olszewski really seem to be having something good going between them in this particular drill. Trubisky completed a 3-yard pass to him, rushed to the line of scrimmage, threw another pass at ended up being a 21-yard gain. First and goal at the 3. The offense uses their only timeout. So, you know, what do you do down at the goal line when you're throwing the ball? Gee, I don't know. Look for the big guy.
Throw it to the monster. And that's what happened. Playing for you, yeah.
Yep. So Trubisky goes to Darnell Washington, who was about 5 yards deep in the end zone, and he was stationary. The ball was thrown, you know, a little bit – it wasn't right in his chest. You know, he had to turn his body a little bit, but he went up in the air and made the catch with his hand. So, again, it was a good enough throw away from the defense, away from the coverage. And Darnell Washington continues to show that he has the athletic ability, the body control, and the good hands to make these kinds of catches. You know, a lot of times with tight ends, you have to hit them, you know, right in the framework of their chest for it to be a complete pass. But Darnell Washington has proven time and time again during this training camp process that that is not necessary with him. So another touchdown for the offense, a 2-0 win in the drill. And I would say, in my opinion, as someone who watched that entire session, it more than made up for what happened in seven shots.
Well, when the Steelers fans aren't banging the table for Mason Rudolph to jump up to number two on the depth chart in front of Mitch Trubisky, they are banging the table for using the middle of the field more. That's really been the cry of the fan base ever since the season ended last year. And I think it's safe to say, Labs, that based on what we've seen in these practices, based on what we saw in the game against Tampa Bay, the Steelers themselves agree with that sentiment. We want to use the middle of the field a little bit more.
Yeah, I think as an offense, you don't ever want to be so predictable either with what you do or what you won't do or don't do, you know, that it becomes a characteristic. And so, yeah, using all areas of the field, I think is important. Again, not only because, you know, good things can happen over the middle, but you also don't want the defense to get the idea that you're not going there because then they can ignore it. So, there have been a lot of situations both up here, and I think we saw it in Tampa too, that the Steelers offense will go over the middle. You know, the touchdown pass to George Pickens in the game against the Buccaneers was over the middle. And the way that Kenny Pickett delivered that, you know, on time, with velocity, on target, he got Pickens the ball at a time and in a place where then he could do something with it.
Right.
And, you know, completion turned into a touchdown because, you know, Pickens had room to do, you know, those things that he does after he makes the catch and got the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, and had a big conversion as well on that drive before the Pickens play by hitting Freiermuth in the middle of the field. You know, Pat went to that dirty area, posted up, and Pickett threw a strike towards him. It makes life a lot easier when you utilize all areas of the field. And like you said, it makes life a lot harder on the defense, which is the name of the game.
Right. And you know, you don't want to, for whatever reason last year, and, you know, I'm going to speculate here, a lot of times with rookie quarterbacks, you don't want them throwing the ball over the middle because a lot of times bad things can happen. You know, that's where the defense is. That's where the defense can get too quickly. If there are zone coverages or combination coverages or those kinds of things, a lot of times in the middle of the field, it might look like one thing and be something else. And, you know, that can lead to turnovers. And with last year with Kenny Pickett as a rookie, turnovers were a little bit of an issue with him in his early playing time, his early starts. And so, you know, I can understand, you know, a reluctance to continue to try and force feed that stuff over the middle to the rookie, but now he's not a rookie. And, you know, I do believe one of the things that Kenny Pickett is showing this summer as an improvement over his last year's performance is that his arm is stronger. And I think we're seeing that in some of these throws over the middle.
Well, the Steelers secondary and secondaries around the NFL are tasked with stopping teams from utilizing the middle of the field. And we mentioned Minka Fitzpatrick had a very nice pass breakup during the seven shots period. He is back in the fold from his excused absence. He's been back for about a couple of practices now. And his running mate in the secondary, DeMonte Casey, returned to practice on Sunday. He was nice enough to stop by and chat with Mike Prezuta and Craig Wolfley following Sunday's practice. Let's take a listen to what Casey had to say.
Welcome back, not just to the show, but welcome back to practice. How much did you enjoy that, given that you'd missed a minute or two?
I enjoyed it all, man. I'm just so happy to be back on the field, you know, with my brothers out there fighting. So it was lovely to be back.
DeMonte, I got to ask you the question I asked you before. Like I said, you seem to have that knack of the ball finding you or you finding the ball. You know, I mean, it's a great thing for a safety to have. Is that something you've always had? But it just certainly seems to be something that happens when you're around in a black and gold jersey.
That's what I always had, man. From high school to college, having a record into the NFL. So, you know, I've always been a ball hawk type guy.
DeMonte, we mentioned you returned. I think I also saw Keanu Neal in the two-minute stuff at the end of practice. Minka Fitzpatrick came back a while ago. Some of you guys have missed some time, particularly at the safety position, but it looks like things are starting to fall back into place. Does it feel like you guys are getting healthy again with plenty of time before that opener against the 49ers.
Yeah, I think everybody's back healthy, man. And at the end of the day, it's not up to us to get back on the football field so early. You know, coaches were involved in this, telling some people they can't practice and stuff. So we got to do what's been told. And, you know, we're back, all back out there working with each other. So we're going to enjoy it.
Demonte, how's the communication aspect going? Because one of the most important things from the back end is being able to communicate forward and backwards and so forth. One of them, I was down there by, was it Minka? When Minka was yelling at, he had Levi Wallace to one side, Mark Robinson, he was saying, okay, don't tell me what you're doing, tell each other. And the importance of communicating and making sure others around you are communicating, how big is that?
It's big. You know, the most shadiest defense be the best defense. So being out there talking to each other, you know, running full speed, and it tells you you know your job if you're talking, so.
Demonte, some of us had a chance to talk with Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, today before practice, and he mentioned, as a lot of the offensive players have, the quality of looks they're getting going against the Steelers' defense in practice out here. Turn that around for me, if you would. What are you guys seeing from the Steelers' offense, and what's getting your attention?
What's getting my attention is how the offense is moving this ball now. They're spacing it out. They're playing catch out there. GP making good plays. Tate making good plays. So I think it's the runs after catches for me. So they're very explosive.
And Demonte, talk about, if you would, your views on Darnell Mount Washington, as the great late Myron Cope would have called him, because he is such a huge and unique animal out there. What's it like from your perspective?
Nah, he's in the locker room with me. We share lockers. You know, I'm always getting on him every day. I don't care how big he is. I'm still older, so.
right.
So, but having him out there, you know, run, pass, block, and everything, you know, he's very good. And doing jump balls with him, he should win those every time.
Yeah, there was a play today, not to Darnell Washington, but to GP. You mentioned him a second ago, George Pickens. And it looked like you did everything but break it up. I mean, you had the coverage. You're diving around him. You're reaching, and somehow he held on to the ball. Where do you see his development from last year to this year?
It ain't no difference. He's been a freak since I met him. So he's been doing that since day one. So ain't nothing wrong with him. But, yeah, on that play, too, I thought I had a broke-up pass. But he had two hands on it. Only had one.
Demonte, last thing we got for you. The defense won 7-3. But the offense got it into the end zone a couple of times on the 2 2-minute tries. Who's getting the steaks and lobsters tonight, and who's settling for hot dogs?
Now, personally, we all going to get steak today because it wasn't a competition today.
Oh, okay.
The truth is told.
Well, hey, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes. Again, welcome back, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Labs, the one thing he talked about there, that was Demonte KZ, Steelers safety, was communication in that secondary. And I love the line where he said, the chattiest defenses be the best defenses. And are you a little concerned at all that there's been some injury problems in that secondary this year? Now it looks like they're all back in the fold. You know, Joey Porter Jr. returns to practice on Sunday. KZ's back to practice. Minka's been back for a couple of practices. You know, they're veterans outside of Joey Porter Jr., but is there maybe a little bit of a learning curve that has to come with these new pieces communication-wise that makes you hold your breath for the start of the season?
Well, yes, there is a learning curve, but I think there's plenty of time between now and the start of the regular season. And, you know, what you have are, you know, a lot of the key components in terms of the communication chain are veterans. You know, Minka Fitzpatrick is a big part of that. Demonte Casey is a big part of that. And these guys have been through this, you know, with this particular team at least once. So there's that. Now, yes, you have Joey Porter Jr. He's a young player. You know, Patrick Peterson isn't a young player, but he's a new player to the Steelers. But he's a guy who, you know, multiple time all-pro guy. You know, he understands the importance of this communication. I don't think that there are going to be communication breakdowns, you know, as they pass through, you know, Patrick Peterson's area. So, yes, there are some new elements to this, but, you know, with the exception of, you know, Joey Porter Jr. and whoever ends up being the slot cornerback, those guys seem, the candidates at this point for that job, you know, seem to be either on the young and or new to the Steelers level. You know, I think it's a fairly decent enough veteran group. You know, Levi Wallace is another returning element of the secondary. So, you know, the importance of the communication and how it needs to be communicated, I think, you know, the foundation is there. Now, I'm not going to predict that there's not going to be any mistakes or misunderstandings because, you know, the offenses, they're getting paid too. And there's a lot of things that offenses do now to confuse you. You know, like we talk about defenses and especially the Steelers defense, we are told that disguise, you know, is an important element of the success of that unit. Well, you know, it works for the offense too. You know, you try and, you know, either create formations and or personnel groupings that might make you think one thing and then they do something else. Another thing with the offense is, you know, dummy calls, dummy hand signals, you know, those kinds of things that are often used, again, to lead the defense to thinking that this, a certain thing is happening and then it doesn't. So, you know, again, I think there's a difference between, you know, communication breakdowns or just mistakes. I think those are two different categories. And, you know, I feel better about there's going to be a low number of communication breakdowns, not mistakes. They happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. You can't be perfect on the defensive end of the football. Hey, when Labs and I come back, we're going to break down the week ahead, the final week of Steelers training camp practice, and we'll talk about what you can expect, including a bit of a change to the last practice open to the public on Thursday. That's on the way next on the Training Camp Report on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Just three more practices open to the public for your Pittsburgh Steelers today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And Labs, maybe this is another one of those little tests from Mike Tomlin to the players. You know, that carrot is dangling out in front of you. This is almost over. You almost get to go home and sleep in your own comfy beds instead of slumming it in these dorm rooms. But you got to finish strong first. And, you know, that can parallel so much to the regular season. You know, when you win in December and early January, it translates into wins in the playoffs. You know, finish this camp period strong. Don't get complacent with just these three practices left.
You know, and what I understand, it's a challenge to you, too.
Well, you've heard this show today. I mean, the way
three more three more mornings.
That's about three too many for me, honestly.
I mean. But anyway, yes, the Thursday practice on the original schedule was a schedule was 10:30 on the field, and I don't know, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Certainly, you know, viewing it from afar, but hey, you know, there's a lot of weird things about a training camp schedule that right. You know don't make any sense to me. So I just kind of filed it away. But you know, that's been changed now. So the Thursday practice is more like a regular day out here. You know. Practice will be at 1:55 on the field. So now today and tomorrow, I fully expect pads, practice in pads. The players were off yesterday. I would think Tuesday and Wednesday will be in pads. You know, Thursday, you know, I could see that going either way. I'm going to be leaning towards pads in that practice only too because of the way training camp has been going so far. I think that you know, the idea that Mike Tomlin would want to finish, you know, the time out here with, you know, some banging on the field wouldn't shock me at all. So, yeah, that would be my prediction. But, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. But for the fans, you know, I think Thursday at 1:55 is a much more reasonable situation in terms of wanting to attend because – you know, I start thinking about, you know, the campus opens, I think, at 11:30 or noon when practice is at 1:55. So when do you open campus when practice is at 10:30? So, but anyway, I don't think that was why it was changed. I really don't changed back. I don't know why it was why it was changed. But then, you know, the players really, camp doesn't break until Friday, because I don't believe that, because you know, what ends up happening, it's a home preseason game, and so the Steelers will be staying in a hotel.
Right, Buffalo Saturday at Friday, Aperture.
Right, Friday night. If you broke camp on Thursday, that's two nights in a hotel in Pittsburgh.
And they just can't afford that with the budget, of course.
No, but I was more referring to, you know, there's a lot of veteran players, families here.
I mean, true.
You know, why would you have them in a hotel when they could be at home? Cam Hayward is an example. So that's the way I think it's going to be again. You know, light on your feet, you know, is one of the mottos around up here. So things could change. But, you know, it's, we're talking about it as we sit here right now. That's how I envision these last few days unfolding.
And as far as moving practice on Thursday, from the player perspective, you know, you like to keep things a little bit random, throw a curveball every once in a while at the players. But having practice on Wednesday, most likely in pads, end around 4:30, then have a quick turnaround to have practice at 10:30 in the morning, that's asking even maybe a little too much of the players.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times the time of practice is changed to mimic the regular season schedule. And I don't know. If the NFL – I understand the NFL will do things for TV, but if they start doing 10:30 a.m. games, I might have to, you know, call Roger Goodell and just put my foot down.
You have a direct line to Roger Goodell, right? Like the red phone in the White House to Russia? You have office?
On the speed dial. Just hit the button. It's the red, white, and blue button. You know, it looks a whole lot like the logo.
Very nice. That'll do it for today's training camp report. Labs and I will be back again tomorrow at 8 a.m. Steelers practice today at 1:55 at St. Vincent. Wolf and Starks are up next. We're going in the locker room on Steelers Nation Radio.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.